Did you hear about the Jewish rabbi in Germany arrested for circumcising Jewish babies?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Today, we will be covering a whole range of items relating to Israel and the Jewish people and the scriptures. But as always, or most always, on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, if you have any Jewish-related question you want to raise to me relating to interpretation of scripture, relating to an objection to Jesus you've heard from Jewish friends or a rabbi, relating to Israel and the Middle East, relating to the Jewish roots of the Christian faith, or the like, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'll try to get to a number of calls as well as cover everything I want to cover today. We'll start in Germany. I don't know if you remember, if you were even aware of this, but there was an attempt in San Francisco. You said you're starting in Germany. I am, but hear me out. There was an attempt recently in San Francisco to get circumcision banned. Circumcision banned. And the theory was that it's causing bodily harm to an infant and bodily disfigurement, perhaps, to an infant without that child's control, without any input from the child. Now, we know that there is female circumcision practiced in many nations till this day, especially in Africa, that is disfiguring, and it's sometimes done when the girls are a little older. But it's disfiguring, and it does have a negative effect for life on that child. And, of course, Islamic circumcision is carried out later in life. But as for Jewish circumcision, this is a rite, a sacred rite. It is foundational to the Jewish faith. It goes before the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, goes all the way back to Genesis, the 17th chapter, to the covenant that God made with Abraham. And there are some studies now that say that lack of circumcision for babies in America, simply people not having their kids circumcised, could cost billions of dollars in health care issues because circumcision is actually healthy. Well, San Francisco tried to ban it. They had a really ugly cartoon book that they put out. It was, even as I'm speaking, just getting a, okay, great. We just got a link to the broadcast where I talk about the San Francisco ban. So if you go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, you will find that. Thanks, Randy, for doing that. But the fact is that they had this grotesque comic book. And in the comic book, there was this character who was going to fight against circumcision. And it was an anti-Semitic caricature. It was shocking. It was shocking. Well, the deal is that Germany recently passed a law banning circumcision. Now, the thought was it will be quickly overturned and overruled. There's controversy on it within Germany. But check this out. A rabbi, I'm reading from Jerusalem Post, but this news is all over. A rabbi in Bavaria has been slapped with criminal charges of committing bodily harm in the first known case to arise from an anti-circumcision ruling in May. This is Germany, friends. Germany and Israel are allies today. The German government has done what it knows how to do to repent of its horrific anti-Semitic Nazi past. The article continues. The charge against Rabbi David Goldberg, who is a mohel, which is a ritual circumciser and in Jewish colloquial speech called a moil, means that the May decision in the state of Hesse has been applied in Bavaria, confirming the fears of Jewish leaders here that the local ruling will have a wider impact. Unreal. Unreal.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and click on The Line of Fire for further links relevant to today's show. Oh, have you downloaded my free ebook? It's free until midnight tomorrow night, 3 days free, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. It's called In the Line of Fire. You can download it on Amazon.com. We have given away, since we started yesterday, well over 1,500 copies of the ebook. I don't make a dime. Amazon doesn't make a dime, but it's a great way to get our message out to many more people. So what are you waiting for? It's a free download. You say, but I don't have an e-reader. Do you have a computer? Do you have a smartphone? Do you have an iPad or a tablet? Then there's a link for that. There's an app for that, so you can read the ebook for free on whatever you have. Okay? So go to Amazon.com and tell as many friends as possible. The more of these that get out, the better. And long term, the more people will be impacted and the more people will find out about the book. So go to Amazon.com. It's absolutely free. All right? Go click on In the Line of Fire, then put 70, because there are a few things by that title that'll get you to mind. In the Line of Fire, 70. It's in 70 articles. And then just click for the free download. And if you don't have a Kindle reader, you'll see right under where it says to order, Kindle apps. You click right there. You get whatever you need. Spread the word, all right? Obviously, if most of you listening had taken advantage of this so far, there wouldn't be 15,000 books downloaded. It would be, God knows how many tens of thousands or potentially hundreds of thousands of books. However, it's available. So take advantage of that, even on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Okay. Germany, circumcision ban. It was in one particular location, but then these things spread. So Rabbi David Goldberg, 64 years old, Jerusalem native, living in Hofsala in Bavaria, told JTA, what is JTA? Jewish something. He had not yet received a notice from the court. He said he would decide what to do after he had seen it, but he has been charged. When I said arrested, I should more accurately say charged. He's done something like 3,000 circumcisions over the years, and I've been at these, and in one case, I was even asked to be the one that would assist. You hold the eight-day-old baby's legs. The rabbi says a few things. They put a drop of wine on the baby's tongue. The rabbi prays a prayer, does the circumcision. It's real quick. Baby cries. Sometimes they kind of like, oh, swoon, they're out. And then they're fine. Recovery is quick. And it's something ordained by God for the Jewish people. And yet, I mean, how you would just think, even if they thought there were some health issues, a quote, bodily harm. Come on, where does this come from? But even if someone actually thought like that, that Germany would say, we're not going to ban this anywhere in our country because this is sacred to the Jewish people and historic for the Jewish people and may actually have health benefits. But the rabbi said no secular ruling would stop him from performing Brit Milah, the covenant of circumcision, in the country. If a family in Germany came to him with a request to perform a circumcision, Goldberg said he would ask the Central Council of Jews in Germany what to do. A few weeks ago, they said, you can continue. It heats up beyond that. Shimon Peretz, who is president of Israel, not prime minister, but president, he called on German President Joachim Gauck on Thursday, again from the Jerusalem Post, to resolve the German legal issues around circumcision, as reported by Army Radio. Quote, Peretz to Gauck, quote, circumcision has constituted the central aspect of our nation's Jewish identity over thousands of years. The value of religious freedom for the Jewish community must be preserved. On Wednesday, Interior Minister Elie Yishai wrote a letter to German Chancellor Angela Merkel, asking her to intervene against any measures that might criminalize circumcision in her country. According to the DPA News Service, the authorities in Bavaria are examining the complaint, quote, for criminal relevancy. According to reports, this ruling was not even supposed to be enforced in the state. Following the Cologne, the ruling in Cologne, Bavarian authorities said they would not enforce the decision in their state, and yet this rabbi gets charged. Yishai said, circumcision is one of the most important commandments for the Jewish people, and the first given to one of the fathers of our nation, Abraham, as a sign of his eternal treaty with God. Even in times of slavery and exile, Jews made sure to fulfill this commandment and did so happily. Jews in Germany, the article says, should not have to choose between the local law and God's commandments, which protected Jews over the years, according to a religious authority and political leader in Israel. They should not have to pick Judaism or their citizenship. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll get to the phones in a moment, but first, there is a famous Talmudic story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is one of the heroes of traditional Judaism. Christians may know his name because he wrongly identified Simeon Bar Kochba as the Messiah and was subsequently, at the age of 90, according to the tradition, terribly tortured to death, iron combs ripping his flesh off as an old man. And according to the Jewish accounts, he dies gloriously. This is about 100 years after the time of Jesus. Rabbi Akiva, when a ban was put by Rome on teaching Torah, went and taught it openly on the street corners, so to say. And when he was asked about doing it, he responded with a parable. I mention this in my book, Revolution, The Call of the Holy War. He responded with a parable. And in the parable, he said that a fox was talking to fish. The fish were in the water, and the fox was standing by the riverbank and said, you know, you should really come out here where it's safe. I mean, there you've got fishermen trying to catch you all the time with their hooks and their nets, and these other fish trying to get you. You should come out here where it's safe. Yeah, that was the fox. And the fish basically responds with wisdom that the river is where we live. We're fish. The river is where we live. This is our life. If we come out there, what chance of survival do we have? I'm paraphrasing, of course. For Rabbi Akiva, he said, Torah is our life. Torah is our life. That's why in the midst of my dialogue and engagement with my fellow Jews for decades now about Jesus the Messiah, I have profound recognition and deep respect for the fact that many of my forefathers died, gladly, willingly shed their blood, rather than bow down to the political system of the day, rather than renounce their faith, and rather than be baptized into what they felt was a foreign faith, and many times what was presented to them was a foreign faith and wasn't the true gospel. So, again, we've got unexpected things happening in our day. I certainly didn't expect Germany to make a move like this. At the same time, I do expect continued rising tides of anti-Semitism in the coming months and years. None of that would surprise me at all. I fully expect it, in fact, for a number of reasons. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Kevin in Nyack, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for answering my call, Dr. Brown. Along the lines of what you just spoke about anti-Semitism, not that this is anti-Semitic, but I heard on the Christian news that the largest Protestant church organization in Canada has denounced Israel in an officially sponsored announcement that they're demanding that Israel stop the expansion of the settlements in Israel for the Jews that live there. I mean, I don't get the fact that a Protestant organization, they read right. The Bible, they teach the Bible, and it's clear that we're supposed to stand with Israel.
And yeah, Kevin, here's what's happened. Sorry to interrupt, but I want to make sure that I can get this in before a break here. This is very typical, especially for the more liberal churches, and it's happening in a worldwide trend. Divestment from Israel, so any church funds that are invested in Israel, divest them, pull them out, and then, solidly stand with the Palestinians. And what's happened is, basically, the church has forgotten all the years of anti-Semitism leading up to the Holocaust in the church, the church has forgotten about the radical ongoing threat of Islam to annihilate Israel, and instead is taking the narrative of Palestinians who suffer some injustices at the hands of the Israelis because of the situation, the difficult situation Israel's in. And because biblical truth doesn't matter, because there are not solid biblical foundations in these churches, they're also probably pro-abortion, and they're probably pro-same-sex marriage and the whole, but you almost see this trio happening all the time. Because of that, they make the wrong decisions. They say we're standing for justice and righteousness, but don't look at the larger picture. So, Kevin, I had that on my list of news items, but when I saw your call, I immediately wanted to discuss it. Jews in Canada are upset. Believers in Canada, stand with the Jewish people. Let them know we're standing with you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There was another news clip I was looking for, and thanks to Matt faithfully sending this to me. I want to just share this with you, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, regarding the circumcision issue. And... yeah, JTA, of course, Jewish Telegraphic Agency. Of course. Scandinavia's Jews, this is from 3 days ago. Scandinavia's Jews brace for fresh attempts to ban circumcision. Is this perhaps a way of getting more and more Jews back into the land of Israel? Is this perhaps some of what God will be using to awaken Jewish people to say, even a generation and a half or two generations after the Holocaust, it could happen again? No, I'm not saying that Scandinavia's about to start killing Jews or that Germany's about to. I'm simply saying the lack of being able to practice faith in these countries is startling, something that would not have been expected by many. Is this another awakening call in God's mercy to bring Jewish people back to the land? Untrained rabbis mutilating hysterical babies while black-clad men stand around praying. The description of a Jewish circumcision in the mainstream Danish media indicates the xenophobia creeping through Scandinavia, some Jewish leaders fear. This is Jewish Telegraphic Association, so JTA, Knaan Lipschitz reporting. Around the baby, this is the article, around the baby stand 10 black-clad men. As usual in Judaism, a must in every Jewish circumcision. As usual in Judaism, women aren't allowed to be present. An untrained rabbi mutilates the baby who cries and bleeds profusely as the men pray. Wow. This is in a Danish newspaper. The words typify, quote, the level of the current debate on circumcision in Denmark, said Finn Schwartz, president of the Jewish Congregation of Copenhagen. That's an interesting name, Finn Schwartz. Schwartz says the false account of a Jewish circumcision indicates the increasing intolerance toward the ritual couched in xenophobia. Buttressed in recent bans elsewhere in Europe, Schwartz worries that a Danish push could turn into parliamentary action on circumcision in Denmark as early as this year. Wow. False description belongs to, not sure how to pronounce the name, Kjeld Koplev, a well-known Danish journalist who converted from Judaism to Christianity. He began telling the story to the media after a court in Cologne, Germany, ruled in June that the non-medical circumcision of a minor amounted to a criminal act. Wow. Kofled's account of how ritual circumcision is child torture and abuse appeared on television and in an op-ed in the newspaper Politiken. And Schwartz said, when a former Jew says this, people listen. Things are happening, friends. Things are happening. Time for us to be alert. 866-34-TRUTH. Jeremy in Reading, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Yes, go ahead, please.
I just want to make two comments. One was about the German law. I've worked with people from Germany, and they seem very informed, and this law with circumcision seems to be counterproductive for them, especially for being in Europe right now as being one of the greatest countries in Europe. It seems very counterproductive. It seems almost, in a sense, to their demise. And one of the reasons for it is, one is, you know, medically speaking, circumcision is cleaner and is more practical for people for a variety of areas. And the other comment was, it doesn't make any sense politically for them, because there's an awful lot of Muslims and Jewish people and some Christian people who decide to circumcise their children. So I just don't understand at all what the political parties of Germany or maybe the Euro is thinking. But
it's a court. It's one particular court that ruled
okay.
it, and
that
now another okay. court. That's why there is appeal to the leadership of Germany to stop
okay.
this. But the courts made a decision in one location. Now another court has extended it to where they are. But Jeremy, the madness could well continue. Of course it makes no sense on many levels, but the madness could continue. The shock is that it will find sympathy in many quarters. That's the real shock. But Jeremy, thank you, sir, for the call. I second your emotions there. John in Glen Burnie, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. When I first heard of this was one yesterday, and I was listening to our local Christian station here in Maryland, and it took me aback. I'm actually stunned that a country with the history that they've had would initiate a law, something like of this nature. It appears they had a total lack of rear view mirror mindset of you know. We've got to distance ourselves from what happened.
But John, that's the strange thing, though, that Germany really does have a rearview mirror in terms of the horrors of the Holocaust. Not adequately. One of my friends, mm-hmm. Joop Spittner in Germany, wrote an amazing book, The Veil of Silence. It's in German, but I wrote a foreword for it after reviewing the contents with him. And there's a certain aspect where you just don't talk about things. Or the excellent chance, if you're older, that your father was in the SS. Or if you're younger, that your grandfather was. These are things that many people would rather not talk about. And within the church, there's sometimes constant repentance for the past, and even in an overdone way. But, yeah, John, that's what makes it more shocking. I'm with you in thinking if there's any country in Europe at least, but perhaps in the world, where you would expect that this would not happen, it's Germany. But you know, I've read accounts, for example, of German Jews in Berlin who are afraid to walk the streets wearing their yarmulke because of rising tides of anti-Semitism there. All right, got to make a very important announcement, and then we've got an hour and a half more of discussion to have and material to cover. So any part of the broadcast you missed, remember, just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. When I came into the office today, I had a discussion with Randy in our shipping department, and I asked if we could do this. And last minute, we decided to put this very special offer for you together. Are you ready? Because it's 30 Jewish Thursday. Sometimes we change our weekly offer just for today. But take advantage of this today. Hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus. If you didn't hear a testimony I read earlier in the week, one young man said that when he got to the last page, he started crying. He started crying because he realized the book was finished and it was the best book he ever read. Hardcover of The Real Kosher Jesus, plus the two-hour Day of Discovery TV show with Professors Daryl Bach, Walter Kaiser, Michael Rudelnik, and myself, focusing on Isaiah 53 with footage from Israel, together with postage they're worth well over $45 today. $30 postage paid. You can only do this by phone. We didn't even have time to put this online. Postage paid, $30 for the hardcover book and the two-hour DVD. Call right now, really, right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. If you can help with an additional gift, we'd appreciate it. But everyone take advantage, 1-800-278-9978. And pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and for the blessing and grace and protection of God among the Jewish people.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, if you were on hold, I was looking at some of the calls I was about to get to, and you're suddenly not on hold, can I tell you something? Even with the best technology, there are imperfections, and our phone system crashed. Our phone system crashed. And those precious listeners, some of whom I'm talking to right now, you're wondering, what happened? Did they just get rid of callers? No, the phone system got rid of you. Now, perhaps it was an anti-Semitic infiltrator trying to attack the show. No. Why joke when there's so much real anti-Semitism out there? But let's get these callers back on. So Dwight, anyone that calls that was on hold before, we'll push them to the front. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Another focus on the Middle East here. Egypt now, which is under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood. Egypt, which has been systematically purging itself of the former government leaders, the military leaders who remained after Mubarak was deposed. Egypt becoming increasingly hostile, not just to the Coptic Christians within its midst, but to Israel. Talk about voiding the peace treaty that exists. Do you remember when Golda Meir met with Anwar Sadat? These were groundbreaking days after the terrible hostilities between the people of Egypt, the Muslim people of Egypt, and the Jewish people of Israel. And there's a famous quote from Golda Meir, which basically said this: I can forgive you for killing our sons, but I can't forgive you for provoking a situation where our sons killed yours. Something like that. In other words, she saw it as even a more heinous thing than Israelis being killed, that Israelis in war killed others. But of course, Sadat was assassinated. Not everybody in Egypt was happy with his move. Now you have a more radical leadership in Egypt. Sinai Desert, massive piece of land that Israel gave back to Egypt after gaining it in war. So it's been in Egyptian control for years now. Egypt is now being controlled by Islamists, Jerusalem News Online report, who embraced the destruction of Israel as a primary goal. Egypt's newly elected president, Mohamed Morsi, is a senior member of the Muslim Brotherhood terrorist group. Mere days ago, the Muslim Brotherhood removed the former heads of Egypt's military and installed generals more compatible to its hardline Islamist creeds. Cairo has now sent tanks and planes into Sinai as part of its recent thrust to clean up violent activities being carried out by individuals identified with global jihad and also extremists among the local Bedouin population. Although the Egyptian crackdown sounds noble, sending troops and heavy artillery into the Sinai is a gross violation of the Camp David Accords and a threat to Israel. According to these agreements, the zone is to remain demilitarized. Prime Minister Netanyahu, on Tuesday, sent a sharp message to Cairo requesting that Egypt withdraw its tanks immediately. Israel further requested that Egypt cease sending additional military forces into Sinai without prior coordination with the Jewish state. Another headline: Egypt warms up to Iranian terror axis Mohamed Morsi to visit Tehran. Interesting. You say, what does it mean? It means there could be another major war in the Middle East. And this one could be terribly costly in terms of human lives. Can I remind you that if an Arab dies, if a Muslim dies, if a Jew dies, if a Christian dies, these are all human lives, all precious in God's sight. And yet, there could be major, costly war coming. How do you pray? God, have mercy on Israel and the surrounding nations. God, have mercy in the Middle East. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. That's how I pray.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. We've now given away more than 1,600 free books, e-books, through Amazon since yesterday. So take advantage of this. It's only going to last through midnight tomorrow night. Even if you don't have time to read for a while, download this. And then it's 70 articles. You can read any one when you want. But these are cutting-edge articles. And I don't have to sell it to you. It's for free. But the best moral cultural articles, I wrote 70 of the best in the last year and a half. They're all in one ebook. Now, here's the neat thing. You click on the table of contents. It gets you, of course, immediately to that article. You click on the subject of that article, the title of that article, it will then link you, if you want, if you're connected wirelessly, it will then link you to the website where it was published, which means you can read the comments there as well. So it's absolutely free, called In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. Go to Amazon.com. It's the only place to get it. This is through an agreement with Amazon. None of us make a dime from this, okay? Amazon.com. In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars, or just search under my name, Michael L. Brown. It's not an Israel focus. In fact, I'm going to collect the Israel articles probably separately, but these are moral, cultural issues in America and abroad. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Pat in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Pat.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi. I just have a kind of a question to clarify the understanding as a fellow Jew believer. For Jews are being prosecuted in other countries and, you know, trying to get people to get back to Israel, to get back to the land. But isn't that like moving them off the outer target, putting them on the bullseye?
Yeah, it's a fair question to ask. If Jews go back to Israel, isn't that getting out of the frying pan into the fire? Here's the difference. Let's completely remove the question for the moment of God's will and God's protection. In other words, is God going to specially protect them there? Is God bringing them there? Let's just put that question aside for a moment and just look at the mentality of a Jewish person. One of the slogans, national Jewish slogans, worldwide Jewish slogans after the Holocaust was never again. And the fact is, now, of course, it's not in the power of any people to guarantee their future or destiny in that sense, aside from doing what God has said and trusting his promises. But the idea was, if we had our own country, we could protect ourselves. We would not just be handed over. In other words, the Nazis did not have absolute power everywhere. There had to be massive cooperation from other nations, either once vanquished or out of their own hatred for the Jews, to round them up in ghettos, to then send them off to concentration camps, and to be complicit in that sense in their death, and for others to just look the other way. Obviously, in Israel, no one has the power within that nation to start rounding up Jews and sending them off to slaughter. Israel has the ability to defend itself. During the Gulf War in 1991, when America asked Israel to stay out of the war, it was very, very difficult, especially for Israeli men, all of whom have served in the military, unless they were ultra-religious Jews, they've all served in the military. It's very difficult for them to just sit in their houses in a safe room with their families all wearing gas masks as Scud missiles, 39 Scud missiles, come plunging into their nation and let others fight their battles for them. They wanted to go and fight. So the fact is, within Israel, Israel has the ability to protect itself. Yes, there are tens of thousands of missiles pointed towards Israel at any moment. Yes, Israel had to build a security fence slash wall in parts to keep out murderers. Yes, there's the threat of Iran. There's the threat of violence from Syria and Lebanon spilling into Israel. There's the threat of uprising coming from Egypt. And yet the sense for an Israeli is, at least this is our own country. We can defend ourselves. We don't have to worry about the government saying we can't circumcise our kids, or the government saying that we can't observe the Sabbath or something like that. So that's the mentality. And in terms of the reality, you know, some Christians may have the idea that Jews are being blown up by terrorist attacks day and night. No, there have been some terribly costly intifadas that have taken many, many Jewish lives and in turn have cost the Palestinians dearly as well. But especially since the security fence went up, those casualties are greatly, greatly diminished. More Israelis are dying because of drug overdoses or sexually transmitted diseases or violence during some clash with the Russian mafia than are dealing with terrorist attacks. So in that sense, Israel's great problems remain internal, not external. Does that help you?
It does. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure thing. All right, now, this raises a larger issue. Do the prophecies of Scripture declare that the Jewish people will be destroyed in the land, that there will be a greater Holocaust in the land? In which case are we praying, those that pray this way, praying for Jews to return to the land only to be slaughtered and wiped out there? Do you believe that, by the way? Just curious. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm not out to attack your theology, especially if you find Scripture to support it. But is that what you believe? Do you believe that as the Jews are gathered back into the land, that there will be an even greater Holocaust, as there will be a world attack against Israel and the Jewish people? Is that what you're expecting? And perhaps the Christians will be raptured out, so we'll be feasting in heaven with the Lord for 7 years while the Jews on earth get slaughtered. Is that your theology? I'm not attacking it, and certainly not attacking you. I'm asking that question. Now, I do see in Scripture, as I understand Scripture, great shaking for the whole world. I see parallel extremes at the end of the age. I've read the word like this for years. It seems to be the large patterns of Scripture that I see. I know as we get closer and closer to the fulfillment of prophecy, it becomes clearer and clearer. You know, sometimes you have details on something and it sounds contradictory until you get the full picture. And, oh, that makes sense. Or you're watching an artist, it's a sped-up version, an artist is painting something, you think, what's he, I don't get that, what's he painting, what's he working on? And then as they fill it in, oh, that's the picture. Well, it's the same with prophecy. And one reason is, if it was crystal clear like a mathematical formula, we'd try to bring it to pass today, or we'd misinterpret every detail, and there are reasons God has communicating the way he does. And then sometimes there are multiple levels of meaning. There can be an application in one generation and then still a future application in another generation. But broadly speaking, I see parallel extremes as we get closer and closer to the end of the age. I see the harvest getting riper. I see the devil attacking more. I see shaking in the church and shaking in the society around the world, including Israel. And I believe at the end that there'll be a massive focus on Israel and the Jewish people to attack and to destroy, and an even more massive act of God to deliver. So I believe that there will be cataclysmic times in the midst of which God will be moving in unprecedented ways. Remember Acts 2, another last days passage. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. Great harvest. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those are the things I expect to unfold according to Scripture. At the same time, I expect great upheaval, great working of God, Satan unmasking himself, so to say, God revealing himself in greater and greater ways, and in the midst of tribulation and attack, God's deliverance. In the midst of tribulation and attack, God reaching out his hand and fighting for his people. So I don't believe, as I understand Scripture, that two-thirds of Jews will be wiped out in Israel, and we're praying for everyone to come back to the land to be wiped out. I don't see the Scriptures teaching that. I do see potential destruction prophesied. I see other ways to read the passages about two-thirds destroyed in Zechariah 13. And even at worst, in Zechariah 14, it mentions half of the city of Jerusalem going into exile, which is obviously a temporary exile because Jesus, Yeshua, then comes and fights for his people. So what am I saying? I'm saying that if I was a Jewish person at the end of the age and I could live anywhere in the world, I would live in Israel. I would live in the land of Israel. You say, why aren't you there now? Because God didn't call me to be there. And in fact, when I very much wanted to make that move years ago, and when I really prayed about it, Nancy and I just wanted whatever God's will was, as much as I wanted to be in Israel, I felt clearly that although I'm constantly working with my friends in Israel on the front lines of Jewish ministry day and night, literally, that God was calling me to be based in North America indefinitely, to the end of my life, this season for sure. But we are all vitally connected with Israel. We are all vitally connected with the Jewish people. And none of us can sit here and think that we can divorce ourselves from the welfare of Israel. Of course, absolutely, we do not justify everything the nation does. We recognize the nation needs, the Lord needs to turn in repentance. And we recognize that there, at times there are definite injustices to the Palestinians that we want to address. They're all loved by God. But you better believe there must be, in our hearts, deep solidarity with Israel and the Jewish people. We will be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, check this out. Check this out. Got a note from a colleague here in our offices. He and his Christian foundation offered to adopt a delegation at the Democratic National Convention coming to Charlotte in a little over a week. To adopt a delegation to say, we welcome you to our city, and they're a Christian foundation. It was rejected. It was rejected by the Democratic National Convention, whoever handled that, rejected it. At the same time, CBN News has reported that the Democratic National Convention will feature a three-day series of events catering to Muslims. According to redstate.com, the Bureau of Indigenous Muslim Affairs is coordinating the program titled Juma at the DNC. The events, which are expected to draw up to 20,000 Muslims, will include everything from prayer to a regal banquet and a cultural festival. BIMA says they are using the events, this is the Bureau of Indigenous Muslim Affairs, to attract attention to the plight of Muslims in America, and that all the events they are planning are non-political. Quote, we hope our people will leave feeling rewarded about who they are and what their issues are and have a candidate checklist. Wow. So the DNC, according to this report, is going to be really reaching out to Muslims, catering to Muslims, and reject it and adopt a delegation offer from a Christian foundation here in the city. Just reporting the news I have heard. 866-34-TRUTH. Our old friend Gyro in Miami, Florida. Longtime listener. Thanks for calling, buddy.
How you doing, Chief?
I'm doing great, man.
I just want to share that, you know, one of the things about Christianity, that, you know, especially today where we hear a lot of this positive thing, peace, love, and prosperity. But I wanted to remind everybody, and what you're saying is that the scriptures does clearly say that Satan realizes he has a short time on the earth, and he wages war against the people that keep God's commandments, which I believe are the Jewish people, and those who have a testimony of Jesus Christ, which the body of Christ, and he's at a war with us now to this minute, and we can't let our guards down, and we got to support each other. It's a battle, and we got to keep the faith and love one another and forgive one another and care for one another, and that includes the Jewish people.
Yes, sir. And you know, Gyro, here's what this reminds me of. Israel in the world today is a physical reality. We can talk about the physical resurrection of Jesus, but he's not physically walking among us, and we weren't there when he physically rose. We could talk about God physically delivering the children of Israel from Egypt 3,500 years ago, but we weren't physically there when it happened, nor do we have the physical video of it taking place. But Israel in the world today is a tangible nation and people, and the hostility we see towards Israel, the recent Iranian statements about wanting to wipe Israel off the map again and annihilate Israel. Israel's a cancer to humanity and those kinds of things. The level of Jew hatred, so obscene, so intense, so irrational, so extreme, and so prone to violence, that gives us a physical picture of what's happening in the spiritual realm. Not just with Israel. It reminds us that there is a real devil and there's a real war. I was just talking to a colleague, in fact, the colleague that sent me that news link that I just shared a moment ago about the Democratic convention, saying that they're going to have special time for Muslims and Muslim prayer and so on, and rejected his offer with his Christian foundation to adopt a delegation, welcome them to the city, just an official statement and whatever else is involved with that. I said we're in a war. In other words, this is a reminder to us of the greater spiritual battle at Ren. Hey, Gyro, thank you for the call. That's why you can't minimize what's happening in Israel and around the world. You can't minimize it. I'm not simply saying Israel is a prophetic calendar. No, Israel is human beings. Israel's not just a prophetic calendar. We know what's happening in the world by looking at Israel. If you mean that in the right sense, fine. If you mean that in terms of what we just kind of checked off another prophetic item, that's missing the point. That's why, in light of the horrible history of anti-Semitism in the church. And by the way, I opened my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, with a chapter starting with the Holocaust and Martin Luther. And if you're not aware of it, it's eye-opening and worth the price of the book itself. But with the horrible history of anti-Semitism, quote, in Jesus' name, whether it was by false Christians, whether it was by Christians who got off track, the horrible history of that, the obvious satanic hatred of the Jews in radical Islam, and in much traditional Islamic literature. And yeah, there are plenty of peace-loving Muslims and plenty of Muslim nations that historically have not had the same level of hostility, but then there wasn't an Israel in the land. But in light of those things, Christians need to wake up and say, okay, just because someone can say a Palestinian family was mistreated, let's look at the larger picture and the larger narrative here. Let's look at the history. And let's look at what God's word says. Look, if God's word tells us in Zechariah 12 and 14 that he's going to gather the nations against Israel and he's going to fight for them, in other words, this is judgment on the nations. He's going to fight for them. What does that tell us as believers today? Okay, if you missed this announcement earlier, take advantage of this. We put together a special package at the lowest price that we could. $30 postage paid will get you the hardcover version of my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, which, by the way, with postage comes to right around $30. The hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus, the number one book I've written for Jewish outreach to give to a Jewish person, and the number one book I've written for a Christian to open their eyes to who Jesus Yeshua really is. That book, plus a two-hour DVD with wonderful guests, Michael Rudelnik, Professor Michael Rudelnik from Moody hosting it, Professor Daryl Bach from Dallas Theological Seminary, and Professor Walter Kaiser, who's one of the most illustrious evangelical scholars in the world, biblical scholars in the world. The four of us, I'm honest, we get to discuss Isaiah 53 in detail. There's even footage from Israel. It is eye-opening, and that sells for $17 plus postage. So you get them together. $30 postage paid, really you're getting the two-hour DVD for free when you order the book. But take advantage of this. This is a special offer today for Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, put together literally a half hour before the program when I said to our shipping department, what can we do for the listeners today? Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. We didn't have time to put this online, so just call 1-800-278-9978. Can you get multiple copies and do this several times? Absolutely. If you want to get 3, 4, 5 copies of the book and the DVD, absolutely, you can do that. And remember to go to Amazon.com as soon as you have a break, and for free, we've only got, 30-something hours left, for free, download my important book, In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars, eye-opening, life-changing articles, and it's free. Free download, but you only have 30-something hours to take advantage of that, so go to Amazon.com and do that. And let us keep praying for God's purposes for the Jewish people worldwide. My bottom line today, as we look at Israel and the Jewish people worldwide, we see once again the rising tide of anti-Semitism. And behind that, ultimately, Satan himself, who wants to destroy the Jewish people. Let that be a reminder to all of us. There is a real enemy called Satan. In Jesus' name, we are called to resist him, steadfast in the faith. Did you hear about the Messianic Jewish synagogue that was vandalized with a swastika?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, what day of the week is it? No, that's not Thursday. It's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Thanks for joining us on the special broadcast. 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, delighted to take any Jewish-related question you have. A bunch of news items I want to talk about and some scriptures I want to look at. Whoa, check this out. I missed this news item when I was sent it in a list from Jerusalem News Online. Check this out. Again, any Jewish-related question you have, 866-34-TRUTH. New poll shows atheism on the rise, with Jews found to be least religious. Isn't that interesting? No surprise, by the way. The most recent poll I had read about in America, I think conducted by Baylor University, maybe about 3 years old, said that, 3-4 years old, I would say, that nationally, throughout America, 6% of people identified as atheists. In the African-American community, it was zero, not meaning they couldn't find any, but percentage-wise, it didn't even get to one. Jewish community, 8%. Higher percentage of Jewish atheists. Some of the influential atheists, like Sam Harris, are Jews. Christopher Hitchens, one Jewish parent, which is not a source of pride to him, not ashamed of his parents, but any Jewish heritage or Jewish blood, the late Christopher Hitchens. And if you think in past history, influential leaders like Freud and Marx, thoroughly Jewish-blooded men, but did not advance the cause of the one true God worldwide. So this doesn't surprise me. At the same time this is going on, there is a real rise in religious fervor in many Jewish circles. Many Jews who are non-traditional are becoming traditional, and traditional Jews growing and thriving with very, very big families. Here's the poll. Irrespective of whether you attend a place of worship or not, would you say you are a religious person, not a religious person, or a convinced atheist? This was the question posed to 51,927 people in 57 different countries, a recent poll conducted by Gallup. The results show the world's population is becoming less religious, with a 9% decline in believers compared with a similar survey conducted in 2005. Interesting. At the same time this is going on, Islam is spreading, and the true gospel is spreading throughout the world. So these numbers, interesting to me. The new survey also found a 3% increase of people who consider themselves atheists. Altogether, 59% of the world's population defines itself today as religious, 23% as non-religious, and 13% as atheist. Of the religions surveyed in the poll, Jews were found to be the least religious. Only 38% of the Jewish population worldwide considers itself religious, while 54% considers itself as non-religious, and 2% categorizes itself as atheist. Now, I don't know how you extract these figures, compare them with the other one that said 8% of Jews in America consider themselves atheists. In comparison, 97% of Buddhists, 83% of Protestant Christians, and 74% of Muslims consider themselves religious. And Buddhism doesn't really have a belief in a personal God. Fascinating. And there's so many nominal Buddhists, but I guess in their mind, they're still Buddhists. And it's interesting that according to the survey, Protestant Christians, many of whom are nominal, are more religious than Muslims, which would mean the picture we have of Islam, as if all Muslims around the world are praying 5 times a day and as if most Muslims are terrorists, is a skewed picture. The thing I just wonder about, 51,927 people surveyed in 57 different countries. I mean, Gallup knows what they're doing. There are a lot more countries in the world than 57, and that's not even 1,000 people per country. Anyway, just sharing the news with you. More interesting news when we come back.
Fire we want, for fire we please, stand. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Okay, I've got a question for you. You say, no, this is the day we ask you questions. Well, I have a question for you. Have you downloaded your free ebook? I mean, what could be easier? I'm giving it away. There are no strings attached. There's nothing you click on halfway through and you got to pay for. It's free. Amazon has this special promotional deal that they do with certain authors of ebooks that are within their program. And I'm delighted to do it on Amazon because, number one, they're totally fair in terms of being a company. But number two, their CEO has given a lot of money to gay activist causes. So this is my way of saying, hey, there's another side to the story. My appreciation to Amazon for allowing me to air it with them. Of course, draws people to their site. They're happy for that. But it's free. Free as in free. So what's the gimmick? There is no gimmick. It's because it's an ebook. It doesn't cost us money to manufacture it and produce it. Otherwise, you just give a lot more stuff away free. But you can't with books unless you've got a lot of resources behind you to give away books that cost money to produce. But here in the ebook, yeah, it takes time to put them together and there's the author's effort. And understood. But we have the ability to do it. And they have the special promotional arrangement where you can actually get a few days in the course of 90 days to offer it free. So we've got less than 36 hours left. It's 70 of my best articles on moral and cultural issues that have been published online in the last year and a half or so. 70, I mean, cutting edge, eye-opening. A lot of them deal with the most sensitive, difficult, moral, cultural issues on the day. It's not an Israel focus in the book. In fact, look at that. Priceline. Dwight took advantage of this. Priceline says zero. There's a dollar sign, 0.00. You say, but they charge you for the app. No, they don't. Oh, but you have to buy the Kindle e-reader. No, you don't. If you have a Kindle e-reader, great. Just download it as you sit here. But don't, not as you're driving. Careful as you're driving. But seriously, if you had a long stoplight and you had Amazon right there to click on, you could have the book in your hand so that the next stoplight you could start glancing at. Oh, when you get home. Wait till you get home. But just go to Amazon.com. The name of the book is In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. There are a few other things, books and movies apparently with that title, In the Line of Fire. So make sure you get mine because the others aren't free and you don't want the others probably. In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. You say, but I don't have a Kindle. Don't worry about it. Do you have a computer? Do you have a smartphone? Do you have an iPad or a tablet? When you go to click to order, you'll see right under that, get Kindle apps. Those are free. No gimmicks. Free. So if you've got a Mac or a PC or a smartphone, you've got a tablet or an iPad, click on it. You say, well, Mike, why are you pushing this? If it's free, because I want people to get it. Because they're good articles that will impact you and equip you. You say, do you have an ulterior motive? I want to see lives changed. And the more this book gets out, the more lives will be changed. Is there any motive beyond that? Well, yeah, the more the book gets out, you'll tell other people, and then they'll buy it. But the price on the book is cheap anyway. We priced it for $5.99 for a book to be like 250 pages if it was printed and published. Here's the other neat thing. For those of you who like to do things online, read the book. And then any article that catches your attention when you're reading that article, just click on the title of that article and it'll take you to the web link where it was initially posted, townhall.com or on our Voice of Revolution website or onenewsnow.com or something like that. And then you can even engage in the comments section if you want or read what people are saying so it is as interactive as can be and free. We've given away, last count, 1,627 copies, but I'd like to give away, 10 times that, 100 times that. We've only got 36 hours to go. Amazon.com, In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. I've had the joy in the last few years of working with a couple, Michael and Mimi Feinsilver, in Florida, in Jewish ministry, debating rabbis on a couple of occasions. And I got an email from them that Miriam found this today. This is from Michael. Thought you'd find this interesting. Miriam, Mimi, I'm assuming. I'm going to read this article to you in a moment. But I remember when Eric, my assistant, who was on the air with me yesterday, now doing missionary work with his wife Jenny in the Philippines, he said, there's a guy writing to us, Michael, from Florida. I didn't know who he was, hadn't heard of him before. And he wants to set up a debate with you and a rabbi. And I said, yeah, great, but it's not going to happen, basically, because they can't find rabbis to debate me. Either rabbis will say we don't engage in interfaith dialogue, or debates are negative to us because of history-enforced debates that other Christians put on us, or we don't want to expose people to your views and give you a platform, or Mike Brown's a good debater, and we don't see this as a win-win situation, so we'd rather not do it. For years, Rabbi Shmuley, to his commendation, has debated me over 20 times. He'll debate anybody, but we've built a great friendship in the midst of this. I should say just about anybody. He's fearless in that respect. But otherwise, it's been very, very difficult to find anyone to debate me. Counter-missionaries, some of them will do written debates, but they will not do public oral debates. I've seen this for years. So he says, found a rabbi, reform rabbi. This is one of the craziest debates. It's available. You can buy it where I debated Rabbi Silver. But it was kind of crazy because Rabbi Silver acknowledged publicly he doesn't even believe the Bible is God's word. And I'm not sure what he believes about even the existence of God. So it was a very, very different kind of debate. But they said they found a rabbi and they've got a place, what, it seat like 500 people or whatever the number was. It was packed out. They pulled it off and it was packed out. And they got up right at the beginning together and introduced themselves and made clear they were Jewish followers of Jesus and the whole bit. And many, many Jews were there. A lot of older Jews were there, especially people that had known Rabbi Silver and so on, part of the congregation or friends of friends, because it was an area with a lot of older Jews. And it was a great, wonderful event in terms of outreach. And we produced a video from it, the Fine Silvers, their ministry did. Well, then they contact me again. They want to set up another debate. This time I'm thinking, okay, these guys can pull it off. They can actually pull this off. Well, this time it wasn't Rabbi Silver. It was Rabbi Gold. Rabbi Gold. And he was a conservative rabbi. A very, very nice guy. And I'm not saying Rabbi Silver wasn't nice, just different styles. A conservative rabbi, so he was closer to believing some of the things I believed in terms of God and Scripture. But he was not orthodox, whereas my beliefs as a follower of Jesus, a Jewish follower of Jesus, would be more in line with an orthodox Jew in terms of how we relate to Scripture and God and so on. Well, how we relate to God, meaning the seriousness with which we would take the Scriptures and our faith, would be even more so than a conservative rabbi that would have just more liberal views on certain things, although devoted to conservative Judaism. Well, that debate, we had 800 people at. These are accurate counts. I mean, they know how many chairs were put out, and I can look at it and get a good idea. I always downsize numbers compared to others, but 800. So they've contacted me again, and we're looking to have an event October 18th is the day I get back from some filming in Israel. And God willing, in October, we'll be coming away live from Israel for the first time in the history of the Line of Fire. No, I did it before, but for the first time in the history of the Line of Fire, we will be coming your way with high-quality radio broadcast, not a phone connection, from Israel. And first time on many of these stations. We have an event, a town hall event, where I'm going to give a lecture on anti-Semitism and ask who the real enemy is, and then have Q&A, all designed ultimately for outreach purposes. But all that, so that's a little history I thought you'd be interested in. And to say, hey, if you've got a vision and a heart to do something, you really care about people and willing to work hard, like this couple did, you have no idea what can happen. And they followed through. They put together Bible studies where people can go to a home group and watch the second DVD, the one with Rabbi Gold. So we have to find either Rabbi Diamond or Rabbi Platinum because we already have Silver and Gold covered. But the plan is that they have follow-up that goes along with these that gets people into the material. So it's a great approach. Check this out. So I was sent this from Michael this morning. Painting a swastika is the most vile hate crime one could commit, said Rabbi Solomon Schiff, Chairman Emeritus of the Greater Miami Jewish Federation's Holocaust Memorial. It is a symbol of the, attempted extermination of the Jewish people by Nazi Germany. Schiff said, it is abhorrent, should say Germany, it is abhorrent, it should be condemned in the strongest language. What happened was that a Messianic Jewish congregation, so they would say Messianic Jewish synagogue, had a bus with Star of David on it. I mean, they're messianic. Yeshua is Lord. And a Vandal saw this, saw that they were Jewish, and said, okay, I hate Jews. I'm going to paint a swastika on it. So the rabbi said whoever did it probably saw the bus and saw the Magen David, the Star of David, on the bus and didn't pay any attention. In other words, didn't realize these were not just Jews, but Jewish followers of Jesus, whom he may not have hated as much. But and it could have just been one kid, who knows. But the commendable thing is the Jewish community standing together to renounce this, recognizing it's an attack on Messianic Jews. It's also an attack on them. All right, back with your calls and questions. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Any Jewish-related question you have, we take on Thursdays as we have time. That would mean, what do Jews believe about that? I heard Jewish tradition says that we'll do our best to separate myth from fact on those kinds of questions. What about the Jewish roots of the New Testament? And is it true the New Testament was written in Hebrew, not in Greek? Or what do people mean when they talk about recovering the Jewish background to the faith? We were supposed to become Jews? I mean, questions like that, in that category. Questions about interpreting Messianic prophecy. Questions about what's happening in the Middle East among the Jewish people today. And questions pertaining to objections to Jesus being the Messiah, that's all fair game on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. I tend not to bring those questions with me for Friday's show. You've got questions, we've got answers. I tend not to bring those questions because we answer those directly, or a staff member answers those directly. And I save more general questions for Friday, but Thursday, they are absolutely acceptable. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I saw a question posted on my Facebook page earlier today. I think it was a very recent question. A young lady was asking about a third temple and asked me, are Messianic Jews expecting a third temple to be built? Now, from what I understood her to mean, not a future one after Jesus Yeshua returns, but one rebuilt now. And are Messianic Jews in favor of animal sacrifices being offered again? I shot out a real quick answer. You know, whoever is like that is in the minority. Let me explain. There are prophecies that seem to indicate that there will be a standing temple in Jerusalem before Yeshua returns. We've discussed that in the past, not getting into that again, but a good case can be made for that. I'm not dogmatic about it, but a good case can be made for it. And my guest a few weeks ago, Joel Richardson, who wrote the book Mideast Beast, has the thesis that if there is an Islamic Antichrist, that would be the only way that there could be an agreement made that Muslims would accept. If you've got this world Muslim leader who's now opposing as a world leader for all religions, to say, look, we've got the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque here, but we will remove those and allow you to build your temple here. It's a plausible explanation as to how something like that could happen, because otherwise, how could it happen? So the idea that there'll be a third temple standing before Jesus Yeshua returns, and that sacrifices will be offered again, how is that viewed? There are some fringe believers and some who have now apostatized and they're into all kinds of weird things. And a tiny, tiny minority of Jewish believers who think that's good and that's fine. In other words, if animal sacrifices are being offered again, that's good, that's fine. It's still in conformity with Torah. And even though the blood of Jesus has been shed, the animal sacrifices don't take anything away from that. And there were animal sacrifices that continued 40 years after Jesus died until the temple was destroyed. For those who aren't aware of that, you had basically a full generation where animal sacrifices were being offered from roughly the year 730 to the year 70 when Jesus was crucified. And after that, there have been no national animal sacrifices offered. There's been no temple standing, and therefore there have been no animal sacrifices offered. Traditional Jews are eager to offer them again. You say, why? Because they feel the need for blood atonement? Some, that's the case. Most would say that they're unable to fulfill the commandments and keep the commandments, and these are some of the many commandments having to do with temple sacrifices. Others would say it's about doing things on a national level and fulfilling commandments on a national level that will bring national atonement. But the fact is, because this is part of Torah, traditional Jews are very eager to keep these laws. And to me, the prayer for the rebuilding of the temple, the prayer for the restoration of animal sacrifices that religious Jews pray every day, still reflects, in my view, they might disagree, I would have to say subconsciously then, a recognition for the need of a blood atonement or sacrificial atonement, or simply a recognition that something's missing when they don't have this. At least that they would agree with me on. Many would. That being said, how should we look at it? Conservative Jews would not be so focused on it. Reform Jews don't even pray for this anymore. It's not it's not in the Reformed Jewish prayer book to pray for a restoration of temple sacrifices. So liberal Jews, not even thinking about it. But what should our view be? In my view, if there was a third temple rebuilt, and if animal sacrifices were restored, this would just be one more great deception on the Jewish people before Messiah returns. And one more act in which our people would come to the end of themselves and recognize that there must be more. Now, it would not be a sin for a temple to be rebuilt. Nowhere in Scripture does it say it can't be. It would not be a sin for animal sacrifices to be offered because these Jewish people are still living without the recognition that Jesus is the Messiah. And it's possible that God could use that as their sacrificing and offering to open their eyes, just like before the time of Jesus, to say there is more. There is a lamb who is slain, and that is the Messiah. These sacrifices ultimately cannot totally purge you or cleanse you or bring you into right relationship with God. They can only accomplish a limited cleansing. God can use that. I'm not saying he won't. One Christian brother wrote a book very excited about the rebuilding of the third temple and said we should be praying for it, and this is all positive, except for the fact that it may be in fulfillment of prophecy and part of the larger scheme of God in bringing the Jewish people back to himself. Aside from that, I don't look at it as positive, or the offering of animal sacrifices as positive in itself. But for a religious Jew, if they had the opportunity to rebuild the temple on the parameters commanded and offer sacrifices, why not? Ah, because in the religious Jewish view, Messiah has to do it. That's the big difference. In the religious Jewish view, the Messiah has to rebuild the temple. Oh, so you mean they're not going to do it before him? Well, that's the religious Jewish view. How that could change, would they have to think the Islamic Antichrist is the Messiah? But if he was a Muslim, how could Jews think he was the Messiah? Right? So the plot thickens. The answers are not as easy as we might think. Okay, here is something easy. We've done something kind of, well, it is unprecedented. Get today a copy, hardcover version of Real Kosher Jesus, which is $30, including postage. And we will give you free with that, the two-hour DVD on the mysteries of Isaiah 53 with four top scholars. Well, I'm one of them, so discussing this, Walter Kaiser, Daryl Bach, Michael Rudelnik, with footage from Israel as well. 2 hours, it was the Day of Discovery TV program. You get it for free with the book, but it's today only. 1-800-278-9978. Come on, call now. It's a special offer. 1-800-278-9978. You got that? 1-800-278-9978. Back with some fascinating questions.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. In the first hour and a half of broadcasting today, we talked about a rabbi who's been charged with illegally performing circumcisions in Germany because of a circumcision ban passed by one court in one location. We have talked about tensions between Egypt and Israel. We have talked about a Messianic Jewish synagogue in Florida that owns a bus that has the Jewish Star of David on it. They are believers in Jesus Yeshua as Lord, and a vandal scrawled the swastika on the bus, and the Jewish community together is outraged over it and denouncing it, as they rightly should. There's no place for that. And saying that the perpetrator probably didn't realize that these were Jewish followers of Jesus, didn't realize who they were. But the Jewish community recognizes an attack on them, attack on Messianic Jews, is an attack on other Jews. What's enlightening about this, though, friends, is the fact that a Jewish follower of Jesus in Germany would be killed just the same as an Orthodox Jew. And anti-Semitism is going to hate a Jew, whether that Jew is a follower of Jesus or an Orthodox Jew or an atheist. Welcome, friends, to the program. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Any Jewish-related questions you have, whether it's the law and the believer today, Jewish beliefs, customs, practices, Messianic prophecy, the like, give me a call and we'll get to as many Jewish-related questions as we can. And one that was posted on my Facebook page by Neil, I told him I might address this today. I addressed it at some length in my Jeremiah commentary. But I'm going to address this. It's not Jewish as much as it's relating to biblical prophecy and things written in the Old Testament. But it's a very fascinating question. I'm going to raise that momentarily. But your Jewish-related questions are quite warmly welcomed. If you're just tuning in, do you know about the free ebook? You've got less than 36 hours, literally, less than 36 hours to order it. It's free. There's no strings attached. It's not a borrow. You've got to send it back. It is 100% free. You say, is it Kindle? I don't have Kindle. If you don't, millions do, but if you don't, all you need is a computer or a smartphone or a tablet, iPad, Android tablet. You say, I've never heard of that. I have a pen and pencil. I listen on radio. Okay, I can't help you. But everybody who has any of these other items, go to Amazon.com, all right? And you can look under my name, Michael L. Brown. Got to put the middle initial in. Or just go for the book, In the Line of Fire, 70 questions from the front lines. 70 articles. I got questions in my mind. 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. It's free. It's a free download. 70 of the best articles I wrote on moral cultural issues in America and abroad the last year and a half. And it's linked. Each article is linked live online, so you can go online. You can see the comments that followed. Some of them have hundreds and hundreds of comments if you want to look into all of that. But it's absolutely free. It's a special promotion with Amazon where they allow the author to do this. We've given away already over 1,600 plus copies. I don't know the most recent count. Over 1,600 copies of the ebook in the first 36 hours, but that barely scratches the surface of how many we can get out. And it's free. It doesn't cost me a dime. And of course, I don't make a dime. But it gets the book out to so many more people, which is why I wrote it. So go to Amazon.com, click on In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture war. So just write it In the Line of Fire, 70, and you'll find it. And if you need the app to download for your PC or your Mac or your smartphone or your tablet, right under the bar where you click to order, you'll see click for the free Kindle app. You download that in a matter of moments, and you'll have the book in your hand in a matter of seconds. And even if you can't read it for 6 months or just want to read an article one a week, get it now while you have the opportunity. Okay, we're going to come back with a fascinating question. What happens when Scripture speaks of a city or nation? It'll be destroyed and never inhabited again, but it's still here centuries later. What do we make of that?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I will get to your calls momentarily. I've got a question, though, for our friends in North Carolina who get this entire hour. Many others join us, say, for example, in Phoenix or in San Diego, halfway through the hour. But our friends in North Carolina, it's amazing how many more call right after the 3:30 entrance as opposed to at 3 our time. It's just, it always amazes us because you hear the whole hour. Okay, here's a question I was asked, and I'm going to give a very concise answer. You have a prophecy like Isaiah 13 about Babylon. And verse 19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the splendor and pomp of the Chaldeans will be like Sodom and Gomorrah when God overthrew them. It will never be inhabited or lived in for all generations. No Arab will pitch his tent there. No shepherds will make their flocks lie down there, but wild animals will lie down there. It goes on. And more extensively, this is laid out in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, which speaks of the absolute demolition of Babylon and the terrible violence that's going to come its way. Well, of course, there was a peaceful surrender, basically, of the Babylonians to the Medo-Persian Empire. And basically, the gates swung open. It was not some bloody, horrific overthrow. And of course, the civilization has continued, and you now have modern-day Iraq there. So what happened to the prophecies, especially in Jeremiah? Could there have been national repentance out of which God spared them? Yeah, according to the principle of Jeremiah 18, could have been. If God's going to destroy and people repent, then he'll withhold the destruction. If he's going to bless them and they sin, then he will withhold the blessing. According to that principle, it's possible. It's possible. But I don't see any evidence of that happening. I don't see a hint of that. I don't see a prophet mentioning it. You say, well, were these false prophets? I say in Jeremiah, well, obviously not, because the other things they prophesied came to pass in detail. How then do we understand these passages? There are two possible ways. One would be there remains yet a future destruction. In other words, these prophecies were given and only fulfilled in part. There was a judgment, there was a bringing down, there was some humbling, great humbling, of course, but not the devastation promised and never inhabited again. It didn't happen. So one view would be there will be a final destruction like that, and that will then be carried over into a millennial kingdom, perhaps, because there's got to be some forever. There's got to be something that happens beyond destruction at the end of the age. It can't just last for a day and that fulfills it. Now, that would be the most logical, to say, okay, 7/10 of that prophecy came to pass, or 70% of that prophecy came to pass, 7 out of 10 items, but the other three, the big three, the last 30% haven't, therefore they still will. That's one way to look at it. Or, in what would be a bit of a spiritual jump and an interpretive jump, to say that Babylon then becomes symbolic of national, some apostate world religion, or Babylon becomes a synonymous with sinful nations that will one day be destroyed. Whatever it is, those prophecies still await their fulfillment. And because Jeremiah was proven to be a true prophet, he was proven to be a true prophet by prophesying the destruction of the temple. It happened. By prophesying the exiling of his people, it happened. By prophesying their return after 7 years, it happened. By prophesying many of the things being regathered in the land and reconstituted in the land and the temple rebuilt, all that happened. The fact that some of the other things didn't happen means they still will. That would be my best understanding. For those of you who own my Jeremiah commentary, I write about this in the reflection following Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51. So at the end of chapter 51, I think you'll find it to be very enlightening. That's my commentary in Jeremiah, part of the new edition of the Expositor's Bible Commentary. All right, to the phones. Nancy in High Point, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
This is Nancy Montgomery.
Yes, go ahead, Nancy.
I'm calling to ask a question about someone, I think it was on August 12th, found it wrong to refer to a newly converted Jewish person as being referred to as a completed Jew. I am a senior citizen. Since I was a little girl, I've always heard them referred to as a completed Jew. Do you see anything wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, Nancy. It's just considered offensive to Jews who don't believe in Jesus. In other words, it's saying to those Jews who don't believe in Jesus that you are incomplete. Now, we would say that about any human being, that any human being who doesn't have Jesus is incomplete. But it's something that is especially insulting to the Jewish community. So if I'm trying to reach a Jewish person and I say, now through faith in Jesus, I'm a completed Jew, that will unnecessarily push that person away. Even though it's a spiritual truth, it will be misunderstood as if they are not a full human being or a full Jew. And what I would say is no human being is full. No human being is complete without Jesus. So perfectly fine for folks to use the term completed Jew, especially within the body. But if we're reaching out to Jewish people, it can be offensive. And it's better if you've got friends of yours who are Jewish followers of Jesus to say, you know, one of my friends is a Jewish believer in Jesus, or one of my friends is a Messianic Jew. It's just a better way to communicate with the Jewish community and remove a certain offense. But in itself, Nancy, absolutely nothing wrong with it in terms of what it is seeking to convey, believer to believer. Hey, keep praying for my people. It's the prayers of Christians who love Jesus that brought me into the faith and bring many, many Jews into the faith. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in Boone, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, again, thank you for taking the call. With my non-religious Jewish friend in Israel, loves the Hebrew language, and as he expresses the definitions of what God means, and talking about Genesis, where it mentions where God discusses the creation of the earth and how we created the earth, mentioning the Trinity, when I referred back to him my belief in the Trinity and how it began in Genesis, is that offensive to a non-religious Jew?
Well, who knows what's going to offend a non-religious Jew?
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? And the gospel can offend anyone, Jew or a Gentile. But
yes.
I like to talk about God's complex unity, because the thing that Scripture's emphatic about over and over and over is that there's one God and one God only. Over and over and over, that truth is repeated throughout the Scriptures. There is one God, and there is one God only. Jesus himself reinforces that. The New Testament reinforces that. And that's what a Jew is especially jealous for. Even a Jew that doesn't believe might still have some sympathy for that viewpoint, say, yeah, well, for Jews, there can only be one God. When they hear Trinity, they misunderstand it as three gods. So I like to refer to God's complex unity. I see that as a scriptural concept, because the same scriptures that tell me that God is one tell me that people have seen God, and yet no one has seen God. And then we'll speak of him sitting enthroned in heaven, and then at the same time, we'll speak of him working among us on the earth. And then we'll make it as if he's untouchable, and then he's touchable. He's immanent, he's transcendent, to put it in theological language. So I like to refer to his complex unity as biblical language, faithful to the whole Bible, that conveys to a Jewish person, I believe in one God, but this is not some simple thing. It's not like I'm looking at one pen that's in my hand. We're talking about the eternal creator of the universe. And then from there, there are many Jewish bridges, Jewish tradition that speak of other aspects of God, kind of a plurality within unity to express who he is, that are helpful. Do you have my book, The Real Kosher Jesus?
No, but I just heard you mention that. Thank you.
All right. Are you able to purchase a book, or is that a hardship on you?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Let me encourage you to do that. We've got a special offer we'll be giving out in a moment. But that whole book in very Jewish ways presents who Jesus is. So it would be eye-opening for you and great for your friend. But there's a chapter in there on the invisible God, the secret of the invisible God who can be seen, where I actually get into lots of Jewish ways of thought that speak about who God is. And as I speak about who God is, I even his plurality within unity, his complex unity, I take lots of Jewish concepts, some of which may be familiar to your friend, and through them help a Jewish person get to the point where they can recognize, hey, God and the divine word, God and the Son, one God. Yeah, I can see that. It's biblical and it's Jewish. So if you keep listening, Stephen, for another couple of minutes, in fact, next segment, I'll let folks know the special offer we have with the book, The Real Kosher Jesus. You'll find it really eye-opening. But remember that chapter, The Secret of the Invisible God Who Can Be Seen. I mean, you'll remember it when you see it, when you go through the book. Hey, there was a testimony. I shared it yesterday. I forget which hour or sometime this week. Young man read The Real Kosher Jesus, got to the last page, started crying, literally, because he realized he was on the last page of the best book he's ever read in his life. That was humbling to hear. All right, we'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, clock is ticking. I can't believe it. Just a few minutes left to finish off our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Okay, as promised to my last caller, Stephen, right before the show, literally a half hour before the show, I said to Randy in our shipping department, can we put this offer together and do something special for our listeners and got approval that we can swing this? So here's the deal. Many of you still don't have my book, The Real Kosher Jesus. We alone have the hardcover edition, our ministry. Many of you still don't have it. Others of you have it and would love to give a copy to a Jewish friend or a believing friend or a pastor you know. So here's what we're doing. The book is $25 plus postage, which makes things around $30 with postage. Get the book and we will give you free with it. It's a two-hour DVD, or perhaps two DVDs, but it's 2 hours. The Day of Discovery TV program with some footage that was shot in Israel, all on the mysteries of Isaiah 53. Professors Walter Kaiser, Michael Redelnik, Daryl Bach, and myself, all in a fascinating, in-depth discussion. So top scholars, but in a very understandable way. It's a wonderful resource. In fact, I was surprised we didn't have the doors run down with people demanding it when it first came out. It's such an amazing resource. You get that free when you order Real Kosher Jesus today. But this is a today-only offer. We need you to call today, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. The Real Kosher Jesus in hardcover and a copy of the two-hour DVD TV show on the mysteries of Isaiah 53, which you'll find super enlightening, eye-opening, fascinating. 1-800-278-9978. We put this together so quickly today, as I had this last-minute thought, that it's not even available online. So call that number, take advantage of it. If you want to order multiple copies, feel free to do that. All right, back to the phones. Daniel in Honolulu, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you. My question is related to the canonization of the New Testament. From a Jewish perspective, how can a Jewish person rely on the writing of the New Testament when at the canonization of it, there were not even one Jewish person from my knowledge?
Well, here's where I would differ with the way you're looking at it. You're looking at things that happened in the centuries following in, quote, church history, where you actually have different processes of canonization, and in sometimes one book accepted and another book rejected, and that's over a period of a few centuries. The better thing to think of is this, that when Matthew wrote, he was writing to fellow Jews, Matthew's gospel written in particular for fellow Jews, and that circulated for many, many decades and even a few centuries before it was part of a formal, absolute New Testament canon that was now part of the, quote, Bible. So the question is, when these books were circulated individually and when Jewish people got them, what authority did they have? Well, they had the authority of the Holy Spirit speaking through them. They had the authority of the fact that people throughout the Jewish world and throughout the ancient world had heard more and more about this Jesus, Yeshua, this Messiah, and the fact that the message was often preached and attended to with miracles and signs and wonders. Once someone's convicted of that, then they read the rest of it. So for me, I was convicted by God of my sin as a Jew. The love of God was revealed to me through Jesus. The love of God was revealed to me through Jesus Yeshua. Therefore, I began to read the New Testament, the whole Bible, but I began to read the New Testament. I did not come to a theological understanding through some apologetic method that the New Testament was part of a scriptural canon. This was called the Word of God, and therefore I should accept it. Rather, the God who was working in Scripture worked in my own life, and therefore I began to read that book and read about Jesus Yeshua. Interestingly, one of my friends, Jewish believer, Israeli, said that when he went in the army, you're given a Tanakh, given the Hebrew Scriptures, just a customary thing when you go in the army, even though many of the people in the army would be entirely secular. And he said, interestingly, he was not religious in any way. Someone gave him a New Testament in Hebrew. I believe it was in Hebrew. He started reading the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1 and realized this is the Word of God. And he became a follower of Yeshua and has been a follower of Yeshua for decades. Isn't that amazing? All right, I think I've got time for one more call. Bill in Escondido, California, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I myself came to the love, knowing the love of God through reading the letters of the Apostle Paul. Mm. I know he's a central figure in all Jewish controversy, and me as a Jew also have seen where Paul had quite a conversion on the road to Damascus. Can you find anywhere in his letters where he promoted the rebuilding of a Jewish temple on this earth, and didn't...
Well, that would have been interesting because he was beheaded while the temple was still standing. So he was not living in a generation where there was no temple. But for sure, there's nothing in his letters that promotes rebuilding of a temple. However, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, he may make reference to a temple. Now, was he thinking of that temple in Jesus' day? No, because Jesus prophesied it was going to be destroyed. That would be unlikely. But maybe he was. But he may be prophesying about a third temple in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he talks about this Antichrist who will seat himself in the temple of God as God. Now, does that refer to the church? Is it a spiritual thing he's going to do? Or in a physical temple, physical location? It's certainly possible that he is speaking of a physical third temple there, and he's making reference to it, either thinking the Antichrist would appear imminently in that second temple, or that it would be destroyed and there'd be a future one. But Bill, without a doubt, there's nothing in any of his letters that, quote, promotes a rebuilding of a third temple. Hey, question for you. In Escondido, do you get KKLA, the big station out there?
Yeah, we can still get it here.
Okay, I'm... Just in case you're a glutton for punishment and want more of me, I'm scheduled to be on with my friend Frank Pastore, who is a leading Salem host, a local host on the great KKLA station. I'm supposed to be on with him, I think it's 7. No, 4, your time. 4 p.m. your time, 7 p.m. my time. I believe that's when I'm going to be on with Frank Pastore.
I can pick it on
tonight.
The internet, probably.
Yeah, you can pick it up there or on radio. Hey, Bill, got to run. Sorry to cut you off. Got to run, out of time. Thanks, friends, for being such gracious guests and such good listeners. It is my joy to be with you with the hope that you're not just listening, but being equipped for action. Remember to go to Amazon.com. We've got less than 35 hours now. Go to Amazon.com and take advantage of the free offer. It's only asked for 35 more hours to download my book. Download my ebook for free, In the Line of Fire. 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. And remember, if you don't have a Kindle reader, there's a Kindle app for just about anything, device, computer you have. And it's right under the order link there on Amazon. Okay. And it's totally free. It's a promotion with Amazon to get a lot more people to get the book a lot more easily. And again, to order The Real Kosher Jesus and get the free 2-hour DVD on the mysteries of Isaiah 53, call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Tomorrow, can't wait for you've got questions. We've got answers right here on the Line of Fire. My bottom line today, let us pray for an unprecedented harvest among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We continue to see anti-Semitism increasing. We see the work of the devil. Let us focus on the work of the Lord and what God himself is doing.